Samir did not exist before this episode. What they're about to describe is happening across Yorkshire and the Humber as you listen. This is their story. Healthcare workers across Leeds Central and Headingley want to train as nurses while hospital wards struggle with vacancies. But Treasury spending limits have capped nursing education budgets at levels that leave training places unfilled and potential nurses blocked from the profession they are desperate to join.
I never planned to become a healthcare assistant. After finishing my biomedical sciences degree at Leeds Beckett, I thought I'd go straight into research. But watching my grandfather spend months in Leeds General Infirmary changed everything. The nurses there didn't just treat his condition, they treated him like he mattered. When he died, I knew exactly what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. 6 years later, I love my work as a healthcare assistant, but I can see the difference between what I can do and what a qualified nurse can do. I can take observations, help with personal care, support patients through procedures. But I cannot assess symptoms, administer controlled medications, or make the clinical decisions that could genuinely save lives. Every shift, I watch qualified nurses doing exactly the work I want to be trained to do. In early 2022, Adi Samdars, I decided to apply for a nursing apprenticeship, Leeds Teaching Hospitals. NHS Trust had always run them, and working there as a healthcare assistant, I thought I had a real chance. The recruitment coordinator, Sarah Mitchell, was apologetic but clear. "I'm sorry, Samir, but we've had to suspend applications indefinitely. Health Education England has imposed training budget constraints, and we simply cannot commit to new apprenticeships until the funding picture becomes clearer." It sounded reasonable. Budgets are tight everywhere. But Sarah suggested I try Leeds Community Healthcare NHS Trust, who ran community nursing apprenticeships. 6 months later, I sat across from their workforce development manager, James Crawford, who gave me almost identical words. "Our apprenticeship places have been frozen pending funding allocation from Health Education England. We're as frustrated as you are, but our hands are tied until Westminster decides what they're willing to spend on nursing education." Again, it sounded like a reasonable explanation. Two different trusts, the same constraint. I started to think this was just how things were. Too many people wanting to train, not enough money to train them. But I couldn't let it go. If Health Education England was making these decisions, maybe I could speak to them directly. In autumn 2022, I called their Yorkshire and Humber office. The administrator I spoke to, Helen Roberts, was more detailed than anyone else had been. "The Treasury has capped our nursing training budget at 2019 levels, despite vacancy rates rising year on year. We're allocated a fixed sum, and once it's committed to existing students, there's nothing left for new intakes. I know it doesn't make sense when you see how desperately we need nurses, but those are the spending limits we've been given. There is no funding," she said. Those exact words. I wrote them down. Helen's explanation felt different from the others. She wasn't apologetic, she was angry. She told me that vacancy rates in Yorkshire and the Humber had risen by 15% since 2019. But their training budget had been frozen in cash terms. "We're managing a crisis with 2019 resources," she said. "It's political, not practical." For months, I accepted this. The Treasury sets spending limits. Health Education England works within them. Trusts can't train people they can't afford to train. The system was underfunded, but that's how public services work when money is tight. Then, in September 2023, I discovered something that changed how I understood everything. A colleague mentioned that her daughter was starting nursing at the University of Leeds. I knew they ran nursing degrees alongside the apprenticeship routes, so I looked up their intake numbers. According to their website, they had 40 unfilled places on their September the 2023 nursing programme. 40 places sitting empty. I called their admissions office. The woman I spoke to confirmed it. They had the capacity, they had qualified applicants, but their NHS trust partnerships couldn't support student placements because the trusts had no funding allocated for training supervision. It's the same problem everywhere, she said. The university places exist, but the clinical training element can't be funded. The pieces started fitting together in a way that made no sense. Health Education England said there was no money for training. Leeds Teaching Hospitals said they couldn't commit to apprenticeships because of budget constraints. Leeds Community Healthcare said their places were frozen pending funding allocation. But the University of Leeds had 40 nursing places that nobody could take up. Not because the university couldn't teach them, but because men NHS trusts couldn't afford to supervise their clinical placements. 3 weeks later, walking home after a late shift, I passed the University of Leeds Clinical Skills Laboratory. The lights were off, but I could see through the windows. Rows of hospital beds with computerized mannequins, fully equipped drug trolleys, surgical instruments, everything needed to train nurses to professional standard, all of it sitting unused while I was being told there was no money to train people like me. That was the moment I stopped accepting the explanations I had been given. If the people exist, and the equipment exists, and the university places exist, and the hospital wards need qualified nurses, what exactly is it that there is no money for? The beds were there. The trainers were there. The students were ready to learn. The wards were desperate for qualified staff. The government that prints every pound note and mints every coin was telling me it could not find enough currency to connect the people who wanted to learn with the places where they could learn and the hospitals where their skills were needed. That started to sound less like a financial constraint and more like a choice. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that issues pounds told me it could not find enough pounds to train the nurses that every ward in Yorkshire needs. But the constraint was never the currency. The constraint was the decision not to spend it. Westminster chose to cap Health Education England's budget at 2019 levels while vacancy rates climbed year on year. They chose to treat nurse training as a cost to be minimised rather than as the process by which empty wards get the qualified staff they need. They chose to leave university places unfilled and clinical skills laboratories unused while people like me were told the cupboard was bare. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the equipment was available. They were. All of them. I could see them with my own eyes. I'm still a healthcare assistant. I'm still watching qualified nurses do the work I want to be trained to do. But I understand now that what I experienced was not the inevitable result of scarce resources. It was the entirely predictable result of political choices made by people who had alternatives. And I know this is not just my story. It is the story of everyone across Britain who has been told that what they want to contribute and what their community needs cannot be connected because there is no money. While the government that issues the money chooses not to issue enough of it to fund the training, the housing, the infrastructure that would put people to work doing exactly what needs to be done.
What Samir experienced has a name: fake experts. In the 1950s, tobacco companies hired scientists to question the link between smoking and cancer. These weren't independent researchers following the evidence. They were paid to reach predetermined conclusions that served corporate interests. The technique works by lending scientific authority to convenient claims. In Samir's story, anonymous economists are cited to justify spending caps on NHS training. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The fake expertise works by treating the household budget myth as settled science. Every time Health Education England said there is no funding, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. Households must save before they spend because they don't print money. Governments spend first, then collect taxes because they do print money. The real constraint was never pounds. It was the political choice not to deploy them. The resources existed. university places, clinical laboratories, people desperate to train as nurses. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Leeds Central and Headingley ranks 200 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation, 2025 MHCLG. The constituency has 1,631 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Total grants received were £35.5 million, 360 giving Grant Navy. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.